Today's daf is Nedarim daf Yud. We are holding on the very bottom of daf Tesam and Beis, the last two words of daf Tesam and Beis. First, the Gemara is going to discuss whether Rabbi Yehuda himself could be the author of our Mishnah, because we said yesterday that neither Rabbi Yehuda nor Rabbi Meir seem to be the author of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah distinguishes between a Neder and a Dava. Nidre Rishayim, Rishayim take Nedarim. Nidre, Nedarim of non-Rishayim, not of Tzadikim, the Gemara made of Ksherim, rather, the Mishnah made a distinction that Kenidre Ksherim lo omer klum, that a kasher would never take a neder, but kinidvosam, if you say in like a nedava of a kasher, well, that's already a possibility. So the Gemara is going to show how Rabbi Yehuda may actually be the author of our Mishnah, and then the Gemara is going to identify three different tanaim, two of which we've already identified, that assume that there's some sort of avera in becoming a nazir, that in some way a nazir is associated with a chote, and then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to start discussing kinuye nedarim and nazirus and charamim and shvus. We already discussed yados at length, so now we're going to get into examples of kinuyin, and the Gemara is going to have a machlokas amoraim where the idea of kinuyin comes from, that a corruption of a word all of a sudden is the same thing as that word. It's going to be machlokas amoraim. The Gemara is going to suggest on Amud Beis that maybe that machlokas amoraim is subject or is related to the machlokas tanaim about kinuye kinuyin. What if you not only corrupt the word, you have a corruption of the corruption of the word, and we're going to say that in fact these two machlokos are not related to each other. But once we're on the topic of kinuye kinuyin, the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to give several examples of kinuye kinuyin in the world of nazir and shavua and neder and cherim, all the different kinuye kinuyin. So let us begin. We are at the Iba Yisema, last two words on the page and daf Tesam and Beis. So if you recall yesterday, we had mentioned that the Mishnah distinguishes between Nidrei Ksherim and Nidvosam, that Nidrei Ksherim doesn't exist, Kasher people don't take Nidarim, but Nidvosam does exist. And we said that this seems to be against both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because the pasuk says Tov Asher Lo Tidar and Tov Mizeh Mizeh Sheinu Noder Kalikar. So Tov Asher Lo Tidar, and Rabbi Meir says that of the three possibilities, someone not taking a neder at all, someone taking a neder and fulfilling the neder, and someone taking a neder and not fulfilling the neder, Rabbi Meir says the best is not to take a neder at all, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, the best is to take a neder and fulfill the neder. But neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda distinguished between neder and nedava. So it seems that neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. So yesterday we suggested that Rabbi Meir is maybe the author of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Meir was only speaking in the world of neder, but b'nedava lo ka'amar. B'nedava, Rabbi Meir would agree it's a good thing to take a nedava, and that he's less concerned about a michshol, he's less concerned that someone's going to do something wrong with a nedava than he is with a neder. So now we suggest, v'iba yisema, afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe we could say that our Mishnah distinguishes between neder and dava would go like Rabbi Yehuda. And when Rabbi Yehuda says that someone who takes a neder and is mishalim the neder is best off, that means b'lashon nedava. Ki amar Rabbi Yehuda b'nedava b'neder lo amar. Rabbi Yehuda only said that when talking about a nedava, but by a neder, he wouldn't say that it's best to take a neder, he would only say it's best to take a nedava and to fulfill the nedava. Va'katani tov mizeh mizeh no der umekayim. It's a tough read into Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Tov Mizeh Umizeh is a no der umekayim, is someone who takes a neder. So how can you say that there's no such thing as Nidrei Ksherim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's never a good thing for a person to take a neder? Answers the Gemara, Tani, no dev umekayim. In Ochinami, you need to change that word. It should not be no der umekayim, that's the Tov Mizeh Umizeh, because it is certainly not Tov to be no der. Rather, what's considered best is to be no dev umekayim, where there's no concern of any michshol. The Gemara will explain why there's no concern of any michshol. But wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda and Meir were discussing how to read a pasuk. The pasuk actually reads, Tov asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo teshalim. Now what are we saying? That Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda is interpreting that pasuk and he says, Tov mizeh mizeh, no der mishalim, it's not talking about neder at all, it's talking about nedava. What do you do with the pasuk? So the Ran explains that that Rabbi Yehuda is not touching up the pasuk. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, I agree with Rav Meir's interpretation of the pasuk that Tov Mizeh Mizeh She'eno Noder Kolikar. In the world of Nedarim, you know what that pasuk is telling me? In the world of Nedarim, if you really want to do right, don't do it. Just stay away from a neder entirely. But Rabbi Yehuda is adding that while Rabbi Meir doesn't distinguish between a neder and a nedava, and he would tell you that even in the world of nedava, don't do it, and don't say anything, don't take a nedava at all. I disagree, says Rabbi Yehuda. I think that if you're going to do a nedava, then being no devu mekayim is a very good thing. And that's better than not doing anything at all. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is commenting on. He's not commenting on the pasuk. He's commenting on Rabbi Meir's shita, that Rabbi Meir says it's best not to take a neder, and therefore also best not to take a nedava. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree that the interpretation of the pasuk is that it's best not to take a neder. I just think that taking a nedava is a good thing to do. That's the top round on the page, on Yoram Ralf explaining Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Ask the Gemara, but wait a second, what exactly is the distinction between a neder and a nedava in terms of whether we encourage it? Maishna noder delo. Why is it that we discourage taking nedarim? Dilma asi bali de takala. Because we're afraid you're going to take a neder, it's going to be a takala. You're not going to end up fulfilling the neder, it's going to be a violation of balta acher, or something of that nature. Nedava nami dilma asi li de takala. Shouldn't we have the same concern by a nedava as well? That it will also be asi li de takala? That a person will take a nedava and he also will mess up on some level in terms of his nedava. Rabbi Yudel Tamei says the Gemara, this is Rabbi Yudel Shitasa. They don't have to worry about a person violating Me'ila if he's Makdish a carbon and he makes a nedava that he's going to bring an animal as a carbon. Because the Amar Adam may be Kivsasa La Azara, Umakdisha, Visomichla Vishokhta. Rabbi Yudel said a person could bring a sheep to the Azara, be Makdishit to Smicha Shecht it right then and there. So you don't have to have a significant period of time where the animal is walking around with Kedusha and is therefore going to be at risk of other people violating Mi'ila with it or any sorts of Averos. You're going to be Makdishit right away, smicha u'shchita, right after your maktishit. It's interesting, the Gemara had sort of said this on Tesam and Beis in yesterday's daf when explaining the shita of Rabbi Meir. And except the way the Gemara said it over there was not from Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, but the Gemara said that you could always do who was it? Hillel Zaken? Whoever it was that Kehillel Zaken, that Amr Olav Hillel Zaken, Shalom al Adam ba'olaso kol yamav, because Meviyak Shichulin Lazara umakdisha v'samich levishochta. That Hillel Zaken was the one that was always careful to bring the animal while it was still chulin, right until the Pesach Hazara, and only then be makdishit, and then do the smicha and the shechita. Why don't we bring up Hillel Zaken again? Why are we only bringing up Rabbi Yehuda? So Tosfos points out, the Tosfos in the margin of the page over here, Mishani Rabbi Yehuda L'Tamei, have a matzah l'shuni k'dela'el, elenichal asuyuk Rabbi Yehuda Gufei. Since over here we're touching up Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and not Rabbi Meir's opinion, so we'd rather, if we have a makor where Rabbi Yehuda says this idea that you could delay in being makdishit till the last minute, we'd rather bring from Rabbi Yehuda than to bring from Hillel HaZaken. Meaning Hillel HaZaken may be the more authoritative source, but when trying to explain the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the one that makes the more sense to quote is Rabbi Yehuda himself, rather than quoting from Hillel HaZaken. But it's the same idea. The idea is the same. The idea is to go and wait until you're actually makdishit, until the last minute. So I asked the Gemara, wait a second, Tenach Nedava de Karbanos. I understand very well when we're talking about a Nedava of Karbanos, you could wait until the last minute, and then you don't run any risk of violating, or you run very minimal risk of violating any Avera. Nedava de Nazirus, Michael the Meimar. But a person takes a Nedava of Nazirus, at the end of the day, he's going to be a Nazir for 30 days, no matter what he does, whether it's Neder, Nedava. So it doesn't matter what Lashon he uses, what his intention is. The Ran understands that the difference between Neder and Nedava is not only Gavra Chavtz over here, when we talk about Neder neder nedava, the Ran understands, we're talking about how much of a nedivos halev is there. How sincere is he? How l'shem shamayim is he? That nedava reflects a higher level of l'shem shamayim. So the difference between a neder nezirus, because a nezirus is always on the gavra. You can't say that there's a difference between neder nezirus and nedava nezirus, is that one is on the gavra, one is on the chefza. Nezirus is always on the gavra. The person becomes a nazir. So the Ran explains that a nedava of nezirus means that he's really doing it for the right reasons. So, but still, even if he's really doing it for the right reasons, he's going 30 days as a nazir. Isn't that a concern that he's going to be bali de takala? In that 30-day period, he might drink some wine or have some great product or become tami lemesim in some way or another, and he's going to violate the nezirus. So, answer Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda l'temei. This too is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. The Tanya we have a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chasidim arishonim hayu misavin lahavi korban chatos. Chasidim HaRishonim had an interesting taiva. They very much wanted to bring a korban chatas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu never caused them to sin. They never suffered the requirement of a korban chatas because they never sinned. Hashem always protected them from averos. So how are you going to bring a korban chatas if you never sin? An ola you could bring benedava. Shlamim you could bring benedava. You're not allowed to volunteer a korban chatas. We discussed that earlier in the Masechta when we were talking about how the Torah writes that a person should not say the parsha of chatas in the morning and then say Ribono Shel Mefaz Chayev Chatas, let this count as a carbon chatas, because if you're not Chayev Chatas, you're not allowed to be no Dev Chatas. You have to know that you're Chayev Chatas. So they were stuck. What were they supposed to do? They wanted to experience a carbon chatas. Maho Yu Osin, what they would do was they would take a nedava of nezirus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through that they became chayiv a korban chatas, and that's why that's what they would do in order to fulfill the korban chatas. So you see that they're doing it l'shem such a high kavana. They're not going to be nichshol. It's worth it. Meaning such a nedava of nezirus, you don't have to worry that it's going to be mevli. They're doing it with such deep, important kavanos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, no, they wouldn't do that. Lo nadru bin nazir, they wouldn't become a nazir. Ela harot alavi ola misnadiv umevi. If you want to bring karbonola, kizante, take a nadava to bring karbonola. Shlamim misnadiv umevi. You want to bring karbon shlamim? Also fine. Toda va'arba amine lachma misnadiv mevi. You want to bring a carbon toda and the four types of lachme toda. The toda comes with four types of bread, 10 loaves of each. That's the comment the Netziv makes. It's really, someone told me, it really appears in Rishonim, but the Netziv made it famous that why is it that the carbon toda has 40 loaves of bread and you only have one day to eat 40 loaves of bread? That seems highly unreasonable that a person is going to have so much to eat in such a short time. So the Netziv says that built into the carbon is the need to invite other people to participate and to share in the carbon with you. Because if a person is giving hoda'a to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, toda is about being thankful for Hashem saving us from dangerous situations. The way to properly give hoda'a is publicly. Hoda'a has to be done in as public a way as possible. And the way to make it public is by making it that the carbon has to be shared with lots of other people, because you have no chance of possibly finishing the carbon by yourself. And everyone's going to say, oh, why are you bringing a carbon toda? And you'll tell them. That's why by a suda soda, the minig is that when a person holds a suda soda, they should publicly go through exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them. Rachel Bitcha Ketana, go through step by step what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them in a public way. That's the whole point of the oda. But if you want to bring carbon toda, you're allowed to be misnadev a carbon toda. Avol b'nezirus lo isnadvu kadei shelo yikru chotin. But says Rabbi Shimon, they can't volunteer to be a nazir, because that itself is a sin to volunteer to become a nazir. That the pasuk says in the context of nazirus of nazir tameh that he's chata al nefesh. So you see that it's a chait to become a nazir on some level. But the bottom line is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that they did become a nazir just so that they can have the experience of bringing korban chatas, and apparently he's not worried about takala when you're talking about people who are so very much l'shem shemayim. So a couple of things over here. First of all, what does it mean, Shein, that they wanted to bring a chatos l'fi she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yadayim? Because Hashem was not mevi takala al yadayim. The Mefarish over here, who's masquerading as Rashi on the right side of the page, suggests two possibilities. Kolomar she'mis yarim shel yasu shum chet v'rotzen lahavi karban l'schaper aleihem l'fi she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yadayim. So they were afraid that they didn't do any avera and they wanted a kapara, but absent having done an avera, they couldn't get a kapara, so they therefore came up with this etzah of becoming a nazir and bringing a korban chatos that way. And then he says that they never had a situation where they did any avera that they would be chayv a korban chatas. What's he saying differently? That the Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takal yadayim, that they didn't come to any sort of vera, isn't that the same as the first pshat? So in the Tshuvas Shaul Lameshiv Mahadura Revi'a, in the fourth Mahadura Chelik Aleph Siman and Aleph, he explains the difference between the two perushim in the Mefarish. Says according to the first pshat in the Mefarish, they wanted to bring korban chatas to be mechaper on the fact that they didn't sin. What? Bring korban chatas for not sinning? Why would you bring korban chatas for not sinning? Well, they knew that the only reason that they didn't sin was because of a special siyata d'shmaya. But they knew that left to their own devices, it's because they were tzaddikim, so Hashem gave them a special siyata d'shmaya that they wouldn't sin b'shogeg. But they knew that if it was up to them, if it was up to their own ratzon, they would have ended up sinning b'shogeg on some level. That b'shogeg is not sinning on purpose, but it's a lack of alacrity, and they knew that their natural alacrity would have allowed them to have sinned, but it's only because of a special siyata d'shmaya. So they wanted to get kapara for what they really would have done, for the etzem ability that they would have had to sin. That's the first understanding of the Mefarish. The second understanding of the Mefarish is much more pashut, that since they never were chayav chatas, they never got to experience a chatas. That sometimes there are certain milos one can only achieve if they fall, and b'makom that when a person falters, when a person sheva yipol tzaddik become, that only when a person falters is he able to achieve certain milos. And they were misaveh for that mila. The mila of being able to bring korban chatas, they couldn't achieve because they never did an avera. So that's what they wanted. It's not about that they actually did anything wrong. No, they actually had any nekuda of tuma in their neshama that would have had them. No, nothing like that. They just wanted this mila. They wanted the mila of a korban chatas. That's how the Shaul Lameshiv understands. In the Tshuvas Mishnah Halachas, Menashe Klein understands a little differently the difference between the two perushim of here. It says, according to the first pshat, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not maybe takal yadei tzaddikim. That means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu never caused them to sin to the extent that they would have to bring korban chatas. You only chayv to bring korban chatas for pretty serious averos that are done b'shogeg. But they do sin on lesser things, and they never get to have a kapara because they never get to bring a korban chatas. The chatas, once it's mechaper for the more serious averos, will be mechaper for the lesser averos as well. But if you never get to bring korban chatas, there's no kapara for the lesser averos. And that's what the first pshat is saying. And the second pshat is that Kodesh Baruch Hu never caused them to do any takala whatsoever, not even the smaller averos, but they were just interested in being able to bring korban chatas. That is the mefarish. Now, we said that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yadei, and that idea comes up in several places in Shas. That Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't allow tzaddikim to sin. That the chamorah shel Pinchas ben Yair, right? Pinchas ben Yair wouldn't even eat something that's in the masukan. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala on tzaddikim at all. However, Tosfos in several places in Shas, in Gittin and Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, most famously quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that this rule that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yidei tzaddikim is only a din in macholos asuros. It's only a din in food, in eating non kosher food. That Kodesh Baruch Hu will never have a tzaddik accidentally consume non-kosher food. Probably because it relates to some level of timtum alev, that non-kosher food is not just an avera, but in some way it affects the neshama in a negative way, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do to a tzaddik. So the Rishonim all ask on Rabbeinu Tam, the Ramban in Chulin Dav Zayin asks on Rabbeinu Tam, how can you say that it's only about food? We see in our Gemara, it's about anything for which you chayv a korban chatas. You can be chayv a korban chatas for all sorts of averos, not only food, and not only eating something not kosher. So the Ramban is miyashiv that Kadosh Baruch is not maybe takala yadeh, means he's not maybe takala to other people that are with them, that other people will learn to do an avera, but tzaddikim themselves will do an avera, and he says will sometimes do an avera, and he says over here the girsa should not be shema Kadosh Baruch maybe takala yadeh. That's a totally separate inyan. Over here it should be lefisha inam chotim, that they're not regilim lachto, and because they're so careful, and therefore it's very uncommon for them to bring Karmel Chatzos. Mm-hmm. But this has nothing to do with the broader concept in the rest of Shas of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takal al yadayim Ein HaChinami. That may only relate to food, like Rabbeinu Tam says. This is a different issue. Ein HaChotim, they're very careful to sin, and therefore very often they have a tzaddik who never had an occasion to bring a Karmel Chatzos. Not that it's impossible that they'll ever eat Chaylev, but it's not impossible for them to ever be Chayev Chatzos. It's just unlikely, it's not so common. In the Shalom Meshev, he also says the Sefer Dovr Tzedek, Maseches Brachos, quoted in the Masifta, also says that it's unlikely, but for a different reason. He says it's unlikely simply because the most common averos that for which you bring Karmel Chatzos are averos of Machalos Hasuros. That's why the Gemara earlier, when it referred to Karmel Chatzos, referred to it as a Chatzos Chaylev. Why would you call it a Chatzos Chaylev? Because that's the most common thing you bring a Chatzos for, is eating Chaylev. So if you're not going to, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to cause the tzaddik to violate Macholos Asuros, Mimela, he's going to end up not bringing Chatos, because the other Averis are so uncommon that it's very unlikely that he's going to do any of the other Averis, and the tzaddik is protected from the Yisra Chelet. In Sholem Meshev, in that same tshuva, he says maybe there's a difference between Chasidim Arishonim and Tzaddikim. Over here, we say that the Chasidim Arishonim wanted to bring Karmel Chatos. Maybe Chasidim Arishonim are on a higher level than Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects only from eating bad things, from Machalos Asuros. Maybe Chasidim Arishonim are better than that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them from everything, not just from eating Machalos Asuros, but from any sort of takala that may come about as a result of them. Now the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch, it's an interesting psak. The Ramah writes in Siman Shin Lamed Daled Sivcha Vav, that if a person does something for which he's chayav v'chatas, the person doesn't have aver b'shogeg for which he's chayav v'chatas b'zman hazeh, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, he should take a certain amount of money for which you could buy a small animal and bring a carbon for that a small animal would cost, and give that money to tzedakah, and that itself will function as his kapara. The Ramah writes. Now he says you have to be careful. Poskim point out not to say that. Mishnah Berurah points out on the spot that you have to be careful not to say that you're designating that money as kodesh, or that it's for, because then it's going to have kedusha and you can't make anything kodesh b'zman hazeh. But that on some level it affects the kapara. So there's a fascinating tshuva in the Torah Lishma. By the way, what's the other way to accomplish bringing a karban? Well, that's the more common way that we do every single morning of saying the parshios of the karbanos. So there's a tshuva in the Torah Lishma. What if a person was chayav v'chatas, gave the money to tzedakah, said even the parsha of chatas, and then the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt? And he remembers about that. Does he have to bring a chatas? Or is it maybe a violation of Chulin Lazara because he already got his kapara? So he's not allowed to, you're not allowed to volunteer a chatas. If you've already got your kapara, you can't just bring one. So is he allowed to still bring a chatas, or does he not bring a chatas? Fascinating question. One would have assumed, I would have naturally assumed, of course he's still chayav a chatas. This is just to hold him over, to give him like a miktsas kapara in the meantime until the Beis HaMikdash comes. And the Torah Lishma says that way as well. And he brings a raya from the Gemara in Shabbos by Rabbi Shaul ben Elisha that Karavi Hita, that the Gemara says that he said, I could read from Menorah and Nera on Shabbos, and I don't have to worry that I'm going to tilt the candle to see better and therefore come inadvertently extinguish a flame. But then he did it, and the Gemara says, V'kasav al pinkaso, ani yishmol ben Elisha karisi v'atisi ner b'shabbos l'chsheyivna beis hamikdash avi chatos shmena, that he wrote in his notebook, I yishmol ben Elisha, I violated Shabbos b'shogeg, I'm chay v'karban, and when the beis hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, I'm going to bring a big fat karban chatas. But if you have the Ramah's Eitz, you can just give money to tzedakah, say the parsha of Karmel Chatos. Why did he have to write in his notebook that he's going to bring a fat Karmel Chatos? He already got his kapara. So you see from there that he's still going to have to bring a Karmel Chatos. So the Torah Lishma says, you could also see from our Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda says Chasidim Arishonim wanted to bring a karban and they were never chayav a chatos. So says the Torah Lishma, I have an Eitzah, just give money and let that count as a Karmel Chatos. You'll get the same kapara, the same, or say the parsha. parsha of chatas, and it's ki'ilu you're makriv chatas. You're always allowed to say psukim. There's no problem with that. Why don't you just do that? So it says the Torah Lishma. You see, it's not the same. It's not actually like you brought a carbon chatas. It's obviously a level down from that. It's enough to hold the person over until HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. So we just had mentioned though that Rabbi Shimon said no chas v'shalom, no chasidim rishon would volunteer to become a nazir. It's a sin to be a nazir. Can't volunteer to be a nazir. So the Gemara mentions Amar Abaye, Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Kulan Shita Achasein, that there are three Tanoim that all hold of this same basic idea, the nazir chote havi, that a nazir is a sinner, that it's a sin on some level to become a nazir. The Ran points out that we use the expression over here, kulan shita ach b'shita achasein, we do not say kulan amru davar echad. Kulan amru davar echad would mean that they all agree with each other, that they all mamish say the same thing. Kulan shita achasein means that they're all pointing in the same direction. They're all basically pointing us in the direction that there is some sin associated with being a nazir, but they won't necessarily all agree with each other with just how far that idea goes, that a nazir is a chote. The Ran points out, the Shimon HaTzadik dafka nazir tamei hu nikra chote. Shimon HaTzadik, we had in yesterday's daf, he was the one that said that I never ate from Nashim nazir tamei except for that one guy who saw his reflection and was so inspired. That was the only case I ever ate. So, but he said Nazir Tameh. It was only Nazir Tameh that he thought was a real sinner. Because the Nazir Tameh was the person who thought it was only going to be a 30-day Nazirus, but then became Tameh somewhere in the middle and had to keep a longer Nazirus and is going to have Charata on his Nazirus, and therefore the whole thing is going to be Chulim Bazar. It's going to be terrible. So that's where he thought it was a sin. Not to be a Nazir Tahar. Nazir Tahar, Shimon HaTzadik was fine with. Whereas Rabbi Shimon over here in our Gemara said that any Nazir, is even a Nazir Tahar, is a problem. So you see, they don't really agree with each other, but they all point to the idea that being a nazir can potentially be a sin. Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon HaDiamron. We already had Shimon HaTzadik in yesterday's daf, and Rabbi Shimon just now, who both say that there is some sort of sin in being a nazir. Rabbi Lazar Kapper Berebi, Titan, Rabbi Lazar Kapper Berebi Omer, V'chibra l'me'asher chatal ha'nefesh. And the third in the group says that we could darshan the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'chibra l'me'asher chatal ha'nefesh, V'chibra nefesh chatal zeh. What sort of avera did the guy do? What nefesh did he sin with? El shetzir atzmo min ayayin. It's for withholding himself from having wine. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer, we make the following kal v'chomer. Umaze shalotzir atzmo elemin ayayin. Nikrachote, a guy who only withheld himself from having wine. That's all he did, is he held back from wine, and he's still called a sinner for not enjoying Hashem's world and all the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to enjoy. Hamitzar atzmo mikol davar alachas kama v'kama. Someone who withholds other pleasures and other enjoyments of this world from himself, all the more so. Mikan kol yoshev b'tainis nikrachote. And that's why we say, someone who fasts is called a sinner. No, not on a fast day. On a fast day, he's supposed to fast. But someone who likes to fast, that's his thing. That he enjoys fasting in order to achieve a higher level of ruchnius, it's not a good thing to do. It's a sin. V'adein krab b'nazir tameh k'siv mishum doshana b'chetu. Why is the pasuk only written by nazir tameh if the whole avera is withholding from any enjoyment? That's because he's doubled the avera if he's a nazir tameh. But in a chinami, any nazir is on some level is considered to be a sinner. Now the Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Deos Halacha Aleph writes that a nazir is a chote. So the Rashba and the Tshuva and some Chelik Aleph Sim Tov Lamed Aleph says, wait a second. Our Gemara over here says that there are three Tanaim that hold that a nazir is a chote. Generally speaking, whenever we say a shita, it's called a shita. When we say that there are this guy, and this guy hold this way, generally speaking, that's not the halacha. We're identifying the oddball shitos, the ones that say what you wouldn't think, the ones that are outside the consensus. So when we say that Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar all hold nazir chote, generally speaking, that would be an indication that a nazir is not a chote. So why does the Rambam paskin that a nazir is a chote? So the Rashba suggests that Shmuel is an Amora, and he holds that a nazir is a chote, and that's why the Rambam paskins that way. Meaning the idea that we don't paskin like a shita, that's only when there's no hochacha from the Gemara that we do paskin that way. So, and also he says, when we say an halach shita, maybe that's only on the kulan amru davar echad kind of shita. But on this kind of shita, kulin b'shita achasein, where they don't actually all agree with each other, maybe in that situation we do paskin like a shita. So that could explain the understanding of the Rambam. Now, why is it that Nazir Tami is considered to be shana bechet? We say that he's doubled his avera. So the Ran says pashlus. He did it two averas. He was mitzar himself from wine. And he became Tomei as a Nazir. So both of those things are Averos. The Gvura Sari and Tainus just points out that what do you mean? Not every time that a Nazir becomes Tomei is it an Avera. Could be that it was an Ones. It's just it's a Metzius that he is Tomei. Could be a total Ones. He was with someone who was perfectly alive and in a room and he was very healthy and the person dropped dead, well, you know, on the spot. What was he supposed to do? So it was a complete onus, not his fault at all that he became tamei. So it's hard to say that that's called shana b'chet, that he becomes tamei. So he says no. What you have to say is the Gvura Sari says that it's the fact that he was mitzar himself twice, that he took his original vow of nazirus and now that he became tamei, he has to start as Nazirus again, so he's mitzar himself doubly because he was a Nazir Tamei. Okay, possibly, or maybe the normal case where a person becomes Tamei is it's not a nonus, it's a shogeg, it's a, you know, maybe even baratzon, so maybe you could say that as well. Okay, the other point to make over here is that when Reb Elazar HaKapper over here says that a Nazir is a chote, that even a Nazir Tar is a chote, there is this tension built into Nazirus between on the one hand being very holy and on the other hand being a sinner. And this is where really Tosfos Maseches Nazir in Daf Beis and Beis asks, the Gemara Nazir over there says that a Nazir is called Na'a. And even Reb Elazar HaKapper says that a Nazir is called a chote, Tosfos points out that's only a Nazir Tamei who's Sosir Niziruso, and there's a Chashash that he's going to have Charata. But a Nazir Tar is called Na'a. That a Nazir Tar is called someone who's Na'a. But over here, our Gemara sounds like that even a Nazir Tar is called a Chote. So Tosav there suggests that even though he's called a Chote, if he's a Nazir Tar, the mitzvah Shabo outweighs the Chet. Meaning it is a great mitzvah to become a Nazir, it's also a little bit of a sin to become a Nazir. So as long as he keeps his Tara, the mitzvah will outweigh the sin. I mean, not everything in life is black and white, is either right or wrong. There's many things in life is mostly right and a little bit wrong, or mostly wrong and a little bit right. There's a lot of gray area. So being a Nazir is one of those gray areas, but generally speaking, the mitzvah outweighs the chet. Every once in a while, though, when you have a Nazir Tameh, the chet outweighs the mitzvah. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'omer, now we're going to move on to the issues of kinuyim. Now we're beyond the issues of yados. Now we go on to kinuyim. Kinuyim are again different languages of nedarim, nezirus, charamim, shavuos that aren't the actual normal lashon to use. Ha'omer, konam, konach, konas. Harelu kinuyim lekarban. Those are all kinuyim for being matfis something beisur karban. Cherek, cherech, cheref. Harelu kinuyim lecherim. Those are corruptions of the word cherim, and those are also binding. Nazik, nazich, pazich. Harelu kinuyim lenazirus. Those are kinuyim for nazirus because they're a corruption of the word nazir. Shavusa shakuka nuder b'mohi. Nuder b'mohi means a neder b'moshe rabenu. Harelu kinuyim leshvua. Those are all different kinuyim for Shavua. Itmar, what is this idea of kinuyin? What does it mean? A corruption of a word is all of a sudden a nether of some sort. Kinuyin, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lashon Umos Hein, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Lashon Shabbat Adam Chacham Lios Noderbo. That Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's a Lashon Umos, that these are the languages that the nations of the world use to make vows. And Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, no, we're not talking about different languages over here. The Chachamim made up that if you say these corruptions of the word, that also counts as a real neder. But the Chachamim all made it up. It wasn't taken from other languages. V'cheinu Amar B'chodesh Sharbadam Ilibo. V'taima Maita Kinu Rabban Kinuyin, and why would the Rabban make a takana to say kinuyin as opposed to just saying the word? Say cherim, say karban. Why do you have to say all these strange lashonos? To lo lema karban. We don't want a person saying the word karban. If you want to be matfis something, be isr karban, we don't want you to say that word. Why? What's so bad about the word karban? The lema karban. Let him say the word karban. You're allowed to say, it's not one of those words you're not allowed to say on television, right? So say the word karban. It's not a bad word. Dilma amar karban la Hashem. No, maybe he's going to say karban la Hashem, and that's bad. The lema karban la Hashem. What's so bad about that? Say karban la Hashem. Dilma Amar Lashem V'lo Amar Karban V'kamapik Shem Shemayim L'vatala. No, we're afraid he's going to say the word Lashem and he's not going to say Karban. He's going to say Lashem Karban instead of Karban Lashem, and he's going to say the word Lashem and never get to say the word Karban, and then it's going to be Shem Shemayim L'vatala. So that's why we don't want him. We don't want him to do that. The Ran points out over here, Mishumachi Tiknu Konam Ki Echid Delei Mekonam B'luchud Dilu Amar Karban Amar Lashem Kalishna Dekra. It's the lashon of the pasuk Karban Lashem. So if you say Konam, you're not going to say Lashem at all, because it's not the Lashem of Pasuk. It's not going to just flow off your tongue. So that's why we have Lashem Konam Becharabim also. Even though the Ran points out to be Yehuda Losagile Becherim Bilchud, Shastam Charam Behuda Enim Lebedek Abayis, Mium Amar Cherim, Hu Amar Lashem, Kedichsiv, Aval Piyamar Cherich. If you're going to say the word cherem, it's going to flow off your tongue, cherem Lashem. But if you say cherek, cherek, one of these other lashonos, you're not going to say Lashem, you're going to be thinking, because it's an odd lashon, and it's not, nothing's going to flow off your tongue, you're going to say, lebedek abayis. V'tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, minayin shelo yomar adam, Lashem ola, Lashem mincha, Lashem todah, Lashem shlamim. How do I know a person's not supposed to say, Lashem ola, Lashem todah, Lashem, to say Hashem's name first? Tamalomar Karban Hashem. Pasuk says Karban Hashem. Bekalvachomer Umazesh lo neskavin lahaske shem shemayim ala Karban Amra Torah Karban Hashem. If someone who's trying to do a big mitzvah and is trying to be maske shem shemayim on a Karban, still the Torah says say the word Karban before you say the word Hashem. Levatala lachs kam v'kama. Can you imagine how bad it is to just say the shem Hashem completely levatala? So the kasha they ask, the Chasam Sofer points out, we had earlier, the Gemara said from the Boaz says Hashem Imachem, and the quotes from Rishonim Vrecha Hashem. So didn't Boaz do something wrong? Hashem Imachem, he mentioned Hashem's name first, so he says it could be, some sort of says, that Boaz knew Baruch HaKodesh, that he wasn't going to die. And what's the whole concern of saying Hashem's name before you say the Karban? Is that you might die in between, saying, if you say, La Hashem Toda, La Hashem Ola, you may say La Hashem, and then not make it to say the word Toda or the word Ola. That's a Chiddush. The Gemara doesn't say that that's the concern. The Rush on the bottom of here explains that no, the concern is you're going to have Charata. You're going to say, you're going to have in mind you want to bring Karban Ola. You're going to say La Hashem, maybe I don't want to bring Karban Ola. And then you'll change your mind. The Dafka pumped to then, he's going to die. That's really the concern. It's a little bit much. But nevertheless, that seems to be the way many of the Achronim understand. That's what the Taimei HaMenachem says. That's why we say Shalom Aleichem, the Meshiv at Kiddush Levana, or anywhere. Whenever you say Shalom Aleichem, the response is Aleichem Shalom. He says, what do you mean? How can you say Shalom Aleichem? Shalom is one of the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you say the Shem Hashem first? So he says that the Gemara says in Brachos that someone who's Poseach B'Shalom is going to be blessed with Arichas Yamim. So if you greet someone first, if you're the first to greet someone, you'll be blessed with Arichas Yamim. So you could say Shalom Aleichem, you'll get your Arichas Yamim, and then they'll say Aleichem Shalom. But you see that they're working with that same idea, that the concern is that the person is going to die. So that's always a question. When do you have to be concerned that you're going to die? Let's say the Nodvid is a Tshuva, the person is very sick, and the doctors tell him he's not going to make it through all of Svira. Should he start saying a bracha at the beginning? If he may be a bracha levat, if he doesn't make it through the whole sphere. Okay, let's see Vaitu in the Gemara. So says Gemara Lema Katanayim. Maybe this machlokes about kinuyin is really subject to machlokes Tanayim. Beishamiram kinuye kinuyin asurin, ubeisilam kinuye kinuyin mitarin. Beishamay says that a corruption of a corruption is also a lashon of a neder or a cherim. Beisil says no, it's not. My love, man, there kinuye kinuyin asurin k'sar v'kinuyin lashon umos. The one that says that the kinuye kinuyin arasur holds that it's lashon umos. Man, there mitarin k'sar v'lashon b'alam chachamim. And the chachamim never came up with these lashonos. Says Gemara Lo. The kuliyam the kinuyin lashon umos. Everyone holds that it's a lashon umos. Beishamir savri bahani nami mishtayu umos. Beisil savri bahani lo mishtayu umos. The machlokes beisham beisil is: do the nations of the world use these corruptions of the language? V'ibay same beishamir savri gazrim kinuyin kinuyin mishum kinuyin. Or it could be beishamay holds we make a gzeira that you shouldn't use corruptions of a corruption because you might use a corruption of the lashon itself. Beisil savri lo gazrim kinuyin kinuyin mishum kinuyin. Beisil is not concerned about that. Heichidami kinuyin kinuyin din nedarim. What would be a corruption of lashon neder? Tani Rav Yosef maknamna maknancha maknasna. Heichidami kinuyin kinuyin dechayrim. Tani mafsha charakim charachim charafim. That's a corruption of chayrim. Kinuyin kinuyin din nezirus. Tani Rav Yosef machzakna manzachna mafichna. Ibailu, Mifchaznamai, Mishaznamai, Misaznamai. What about those Lashonos? Amar Rav Yehuda Ravashi, Kinma Mai. When you say Kinma, what about that? Konam Ka'amar? Or Dilma Kinman B'Shem Ka'amar? Is that also a Lashon of Konam? Or Kinman Bosam, rather, Ka'amar? Or are you talking about Kinman Bosam, some type of spice? So Amar Lei Ravach, Braid Rav Chiel Ravashi, Kina Mai, Kina Shaltar Nagolin Ka'amar? Or Dilma Lashon de Konam? When you say Kinma, are you saying a Kina of Tarnagolin, like a Karn of Tarnagolin? Or are you saying a Lashon of a Konam? Tibai, Marcel, we don't know. Kinuyi, Kinuyi de Shvua, Echidam. What's an example of Kinuyi, Kinuyi of Shvua? Shvuel, Shvusiel, Shkukoel. Shvuel, Shvuel ben Gershom Hashma. That's a name. That's not a Lashon of a Neder. Ella Shvuvael, Shvusiel, Shkukoel. Mahu. Amar Shmuel, Amar Ashivta lo Amar Lomar Klum. Ashkika lo Amar Klum. Karincha lo Amar Klum. Okay, so the discussion of how far corrupted it has to be in order for it to be Kinuyi, Kinuyin. Nadar b'moi areil kinuyin. The Mishnah said that if you take a neder b'moshe Rabbeinu, that's a lashon of kinuyin. Tavir b'shem gumi alomer ha'omer b'moi lo omer klum. If you say b'moi as a neder of a lashon moshe Rabbeinu, that's lo omer klum. But b'mumsa da omer moi hareilu kinuyin l'shvua. But if the lashon that a person uses is b'mumsa da omer b'moi, that the shvua that Moshe Rabbeinu himself took, that's a kinuy for a shvua. Okay, but Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah.